Let's begin our lesson today, and I'm going to teach you on the Bible character Adam. Adam, of course, is at the very beginning of everything. So I'm going to be, if you'll turn to Genesis 2 and 3 on your iPad or your phone or your Bible, then follow along with me. We won't be just, it's going to be a bunch of verses here as I tell this narrative for you. To tell you what we can learn from Adam. Adam means of the ground red earth. I don't know what in the world that means, but the name Adam comes back as the ground red earth. He was at the very beginning, and God breathed into him the breath of life, and he was the first person. If you look at Genesis 2:16, let's start there, Genesis 2:16. What had happened is creation is happening here. And I've shared with you before in here, God never created anything unless he first created the provision for that. That would not be fair to create something and there's no provision for it. And so you go through Genesis 2 here at the very beginning of it, and God's going through the creation. On the first day was night and day, and the second day was the heavens and earth. Then the third day he created the trees and the plants. And then fourth day, he created the stars and the moon. And then on the fifth day, he created animals. Now see, he couldn't create the animals on day one. There would be no provision. There would be no provision for substance, for their livelihood. And so we've got the plants and everything there. And so finally on the fifth day, he created animals. And then on the sixth day, he created man. And he says right here, and on the seventh day, God ended his work. Verse number two, God ended his work in which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work. Now, why did God have to rest? Was he worn out? Was he whipped? Was it just too much for him that he had to rest on the seventh day? Why do you think he rested?
It was finished.
Huh?
It was done.
It was done in 6 days, but we got that seventh day and he rested. Why?
An example for us.
Yeah.
Rest on the seventh.
You think so?
Yes. I love taking
apples. He instructed us on the seventh day you're to rest.
Yeah.
The principle here is you never can replenish the oxygen you use up in a day of activity with one night of rest. And so God knew as he designed us that he wants us to rest on the seventh day. And it says, verse number two, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had made. And so then in verse number seven, Genesis kind of repeats itself a little bit. Verse number seven, it says, and the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Now, so here's what we got here. He creates man, and he's got to bring life into him. And so it's like he took his nose and he grabbed his nostrils. It's like he blew this balloon up right there. He breathed into man the breath of life. He gave man, this creature, man, life. And he breathed in him the breath of life. And man became, verse 7, look at it, man became a living soul. And then we get down to verse number 9, where he's talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so what he did is he goes down to verse number 16, and he's telling Adam what he needs to do. Because you see what God is doing here, he is making provision. He's making provision not only for the animals, he's making provision for the plants, the water, the light. He's making provision now for man. And so now he's created man, and now he's going to deal with them. But he tells Adam in verse number 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of that, you will surely die. It wasn't like it was poison, okay? But God had a tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden. It was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so God told him, he said, keep your hand out of it. Keep your hand off of it. For the day you eat of it, you will surely die. So then verse number 18, follow along here. Then the Lord God said, it was not good that the man be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. Some of you are probably thinking of the feminine species that he should have created her first to make provisions for Adam because he's going to need her.
But he Adam was created. He told him about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, to keep your hands off of it. And then he's going to create for him a helpmate. In verse number 19, it says, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the sea." And I want to stop right there at that semicolon. It's like God put Adam on a rock. We'll play like this is a rock. And he called up all the animals to come by in front of Adam, like a zoo parade. And he said, "Adam, I'm giving you authority to name all of these." Now listen, I did not do real well in school, especially the sciences, and biology. All those kingdom, phylum, genus, species, y'all know what I'm talking about? It just made my head swim. But here's what Adam did. He named all of them kingdom, phylum, genus, species. He gave them names. There's a crocodile, there's a bear, there's a giraffe, you know. And all the animals, the Bible says, come by in front of Adam, and whatever he called them, that was their name. But, your verse says, but what? There was not anything there for Adam. It's almost like God said, "Adam, did you see anything you liked? Did you see anything you liked?" I saw a bunch of animals and everything. I didn't see anything I like, you know. And so what he did then, he calls the next verse, follow along there, God's provision. He called, follow along, and he says, "But for Adam, there was not found a helpmate for him. Then the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her into the man." And Adam, the verse 23, are you with me? Verse 23, Adam said, now he found something he liked. And this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. She was not called Eve till after the fall. She was called woman before the fall. And so, verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Very important verse right here, if you're following here. We're talking about the provision. "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were what?
Ashamed.
Not ashamed.
They
were not ashamed at that point. They were not ashamed at that point. They were both naked, and they were shot. What do you mean, Emery? They didn't know. And you're saying, are they blind? No, they didn't know. They didn't know. And so chapter 3 opens up here, and it says, meanwhile, there's always going to be a problem. Meanwhile, there's going to be a problem here. And what we have here is Genesis 3, 1 through 13. "Now the serpent, more subtle of any beast of the field, and the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman," the serpent went walking up to Eve. Let me tell you, I believe the serpent was walking. That's my opinion. When we get to the end, you can have your own opinion. I believe the serpent was walking upright. I believe the serpent went up to the woman and said, "Hey, woman, hasn't God said you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" Verse number 2. "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God said we will not eat of it or we will die." Now, God didn't tell the woman that rule. I'm assuming that Adam told her. I'm assuming once the woman came on the scene, they had enough to have a Sunday school class. And I believe that he sat down, Adam sat down like he's supposed to, and took his rightful role as a man and instructed Eve. Now listen, Eve, look around. All this stuff, the fruit, the tree, all this stuff, this is all ours to enjoy. But you see that tree right there, right there by Ralph's foot, that tree right there, that's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. We need to keep our hands off of that tree, for the day we eat of the fruit of that tree, God says, we will die. I believe Adam taught her that, because that's what she's saying back to the serpent right here. She's saying, God said that we cannot eat of it or we will die. And the serpent said to the woman, verse 4, "You're not going to die. For God knows that the day you eat of that your eyes will be opened up. Bing! your eyes will be opened up, and you will have knowledge of what? Good and evil. He's not going to kill you, Eve. He just knows that when your eyes are opened up, you will be as gods. Little G's in my Bible. As gods, knowing good or evil. And when the woman saw, here we go, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, number one, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, number two, and is desired to make one wise, number three. The Bible says she took of the fruit, and she did eat, and she also gave it to her husband with her, and he did what? That wasn't good, Adam. I don't know about that. Are you giving him a benefit of the doubt? If he'd have known it was the fruit of that tree, he would have, ooh, but can't do that, Eve. Keto diet. You're much sweeter than I am. After, I think he knew.
Just think about it. After he had just talked or told her about not to touch it, and the reason why not to touch it, she left something other than her husband, which I say for myself, I have done with my husband. He has said to me, don't do this. But then I go get information from somebody else and say, oh, it's someone else told me it's okay.
And you know what you did right there? We're going to get to that verse later on. You're exactly right. You usurped what your husband told you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not getting into all that other stuff. I'm just telling you, he warned you not to do
it.
And you went and talked to somebody else.
Yeah.
And after talking to them, you decided I did. Yeah. It's called usurp.
Yeah.
You're going to see this in just a second, what happens here. It's not all your fault. It was just given to you. You're going to find out in a minute. But all of a sudden, he did eat of the fruit of the tree. And the Bible says, what happened to his eyes? The moment he ate of the fruit of the tree, his eyes opened up. And so now, he here's what happened. Satan took Eve's eyes off of what she had. What did she have? Everything. Everything. Satan took her eyes off of everything she had and put on one thing she didn't have, that tree by Ralph's foot. And then Adam, he did the same thing and he ate it. And when he ate it, his eyes were opened up. His eyes were opened up. The serpent said, he's not going to kill you. And so when Adam partook of the fruit of the tree, that became Adam's sin. The fall of man did not happen when Eve partook of the fruit of the tree. The fall of man happened when Adam partook of the fruit of the tree. The instructions were from God to Adam. Okay? And so when Adam ate the fruit of the tree, his eyes were both opened up. And look at verse number 7. Follow along here. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were what?
Naked.
Holy moly! Woman, get some clothes on. When you get some clothes on, Adam, they didn't know they were naked until they partook of the fruit of the tree. They had the knowledge of good and evil, and all of a sudden now they know this deal. And all of a sudden they begin to sew fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And what I'm trying to, I don't want to dwell here too long, but I want to tell you something. They have a problem here, and God had a commandment here, and it's on the board here. Commandments and instructions are for our protection and provision. He gives us a thou shalt nots to protect us or to provide for us. And so they go against God here. They want to do their own thing. And so they partook of the fruit of the tree. Now their eyes are opened up. They knew knowledge of good and evil. And all of a sudden they knew they were naked. And verse number 7, and then they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Listen to me, trying to cover their sin. You know, what it is not sin. It's the knowledge of it is sin. Okay? Don't connect the wrong things here. Their nakedness was not the sin. It was the knowledge of it that was sin here. And their eyes were opened up. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and they made themselves apron. And verse number 8. This is so great. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And so all of a sudden they're in the garden. They've already sewed these fig leaves together, trying to cover what they had done. And all of a sudden they hear God walking. they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid. Come on, Eve, get under the bush. So they're hiding under the bush. Think on this. Who are they trying to hide from? Think on that for a moment. See if that registers. I don't know if you ever tried to hide from God. They're trying to hide from God.
Yep.
Like God didn't know where they were. He knew exactly where they were. But what he was wanting is for them to expose. Oh, that's the wrong word. He was wanting them to come out and admit what had happened here. So here they are hiding in the garden in the cool of the day. And they heard the voice of the Lord calling. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam. Adam? Adam. Where are you? Adam.
Hey, Adam.
Adam. Adam, where are you? Where are you? Do you think he knew where they were? Whoa.
Yes.
Turn that off, Tim, please. Thank you.
Yes.
He knew where they were. But he was wanting Adam and Eve to come forward. He wanted them to admit that they had sinned. He knew they had sinned. He knew where they were. He could have jerked them out of beneath that tree. And so he says, I heard. All of a sudden, Adam, in verse number 9, the Lord God called unto Adam, where are you? Where are you? And Adam said, verse 10, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was what?
David.
Oh, God is so great here. And I hid myself. And God said in verse 11, who in the world, Adam, told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree where I commanded you not to, that you shouldn't eat? Adam is not very smart. He's not very smart. He just jumps up and he almost confesses right there. You know, we were hiding in the garden because we were naked. Well, who told you you were naked?
Right.
Didn't I tell you not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden by Ralph's foot? Didn't I tell you that? You must have done that. And the man says, verse number 12, stay with me, girls. I'm going to fix you up here in just a second. And the man said, God, it was the woman that you gave me. It's her fault. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, what in the world have you done? Here it is. It's almost like God, he's got Adam lined up here. He's got the woman lined up here. And he's got the serpent standing up right here next to her. He's standing up next to her, my opinion. And the three of them are there. They're facing God. God goes to Adam and says, Adam, what have you done? And Adam says, it's not my fault. It's her fault. In fact, God, it's your fault. You're the one that gave her to me. That's exactly what it says here. God, it was the woman that you gave to me. It's her fault. And the Lord God went down in front of the woman. He told Adam, stand right there. I'll be back to you in just a second. He went in front of Eve and the woman. And he said, what have you done? And the woman said, it's the serpent. It was the serpent that did it, beguile me, and I did eat. God goes down in front of the serpent, standing up. I believe this. Standing up. He says, he didn't even ask him.
Nope.
He started giving out the punishment. He said, because you have done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above all every beast of the field. And upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Hit the dirt. I believe that's when the serpent hit the ground. That's my opinion. My opinion. Because when he hit the ground, God's punishment to him was, you're going to eat dirt the rest of your life. I don't know much about snakes. Are some of you in here pretty good snake people? You know, snake people? I got some friends that handle those things, man. I understand they get their sense of direction from licking the air. They get their sense of direction from licking the air.
They are blind.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, the serpent hits the ground. He got his punishment. Now God is going back down the row, and he's lined up in front of Eve. Follow along with me here. And he says, and he goes to Eve, and he says, unto the woman, verse 16, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shall you bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Here's what God told Eve. the woman. You're going to have pain in childbirth.
Yeah.
You're going to have pain in childbirth. I think there's pain in childbirth.
Oh, it's pain.
Yeah.
Thank you. Amen.
Just a little.
Just a little.
Oh,
that's a reminder. That's a reminder to us. And he said, there's going to be pain in childbirth. There's going to be pain here. And it said the second thing here is your... Don't miss it now. Don't miss it. Next thing, it says, your desire, verse 16, shall be to thy husband. And what that means right here from the Hebrew, and it says he shall rule over you. There's going to be the desire in the chain of operating where there's going to be this desire to usurp his authority. Usurp his authority. Not that you women are evil, but usurp his authority, because if God's not doing what man's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, there's going to be a tendency to ignore what he says and do what you want to do. And so God's just saying your desire is going to be, what that means is to him, but he shall rule over you. So he's telling the woman, you're going to have pain in childbirth, and your desire is to rule over. There's going to be that tendency. Now he goes down, he's standing in front of Adam. Verse number 17. God's standing in front of Adam, face to face. Serpent's on the ground. Eve's just standing there trying to figure out what God told her. Childbirth, what's that? You're going to fix and find out, Eve. And he said unto Adam, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the tree in which I commanded you not to eat it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it brought forth to thee, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it you were taken from, and thou art, and unto dust shall you return. Here's what God told Adam. Here's your punishment. Up to this point right here, I've given you provision. I provided for you. You didn't have to sweat. You didn't have to work. You didn't have to do anything. All you had to do is walk around with woman and partake of the fruits of all the trees, except the one by Ralph Holding's foot. Partake of all the fruit of the tree. You had all the joy and the benefit of the animals and everything. It was all yours. I provided for you. But now you've broken that one rule. He gave us one rule. He gave Adam one rule to keep, and he couldn't keep it. That we don't have the Big Ten now. It's too early. He just gave him one rule. And God gave the man provision right here, but we found a problem in verse number 3. And so he tells man from this point on, you're going to have to work for what you eat. You're going to have to pull the thorns. You're going to have to pull the thistles. You're going to have to pull the weeds. It says you're going to have to sweat of your brow to provide for you and the woman. You're going to have to work for it. And in the sweat of thy face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, and out of it you come from, and the dust you shall return. I didn't know this till about 30 years ago, that the same 14 chemical elements in human flesh are the same 14 chemical elements in dirt. We got science type people here to verify this goofy thing Emory just said. Same 14 chemical elements. Ralph, you agree with me? Okay, thank you. I feel better already. The same 14 elements in dirt, when you take them in a chemical lab, and break them down, are the same 14 chemical elements in human flesh. That's why the Bible says, dust you came from, dust you shall return. That's why when you put a body in a grave, it will decompose. It will go back to the dirt. Dust you came from, dust you're going to return to it. And so he tells Adam here that you're going to have to work the rest of your life to provide for your family. And so, verse number 20, and Adam called his wife's name what?
Eve.
Okay, that's the first time right there. Up to that time, she was woman, Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Verse 21, follow along. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Very interesting for Emory. They realized they had sinned or broke God's one commandment, don't eat the fruit of the tree by Ralph's foot right there. And they began to sew fig leaves together to cover themselves. Okay? And so that is an incomplete sacrifice. That's not even enough. So God comes in, he gives out the punishment to Adam and to Eve and the serpent. Then he takes the animal and he takes the coat of the skin of the animal and he clothes them. Is that what it says there? He's the one that provides the sacrifice. Have you ever heard of the verse in the Bible, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin? That was the first one. There was a shedding of an innocent blood of an animal to cover the sin, clothe Adam and Eve. And when God covers the sin, He covers it. You can't do it, Adam. You can't do it, woman. And so they tried. And so God slayed an animal, took the skin of the animal, covered them, and it covered their sin. And so he said, behold, verse 22, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. What went wrong? What happened? God gave out the penalty. Gave out the penalty that we just talked about, that she's going to have pain in childbirth, and she's going to try to usurp, and then the penalty to the serpent, he's going to eat dirt the rest of his life, and then to Adam, you're going to have to work with the sweat of your brow, and you're going to have to. What he's trying to tell these people is your decisions have consequences. Your decisions have consequences. But here's what God does. I love this story about Adam. What God provided was a pardon in Genesis 3:21. And the Lord, and unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin to clothe them. God provided the pardon for them. And he's the one that forgave them. And so when he clothes it, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. There's a lesson to learn from Adam before we leave here. This is the very first time this happened. But we begin to learn right now that Satan has a plan for your life. You've been in here with Emory. You've heard me say this. I believe this with all of my heart. All of my heart. Satan has a plan for my life, and he has a plan for your life. Number one, Satan wants me to rebel. Satan wants me to rebel. He wants me to disobey God. God tells them, keep your hands off the fruit of the tree by Ralph Houghton's foot, or that day you will surely die. Satan wants me to rebel against that and not believe God. Then what he does, he wants to strip me. God wanted to strip Adam of his dignity. God wanted to strip Adam of his place. And so literally he stripped him, excuse the pun. He stripped him and Eve. And then what he wanted, the third thing Satan wants us to do, is Satan wants us to run and hide. What did they do? They ran and they tried to hide from God. And that's what Satan wants to happen to me. He can never own me again. I was bought with the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross, if you're saved. But Satan wants me to rebel against God. He wants to deem myself ineffective, not worthy, not saved. And so he wants me to stumble and fall, and that's what happened to Adam. And then Satan wants to strip you. When I mess up, when I blow it, I don't feel too good about myself. So it strips you of your dignity, of who you are as a believer. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar person. The Bible says you're the righteousness of God. You're the righteousness of God. Then he wants us to run and hide. It makes me not want to come to church. It makes me not want to be with you folks. It makes me want to distance myself and separate myself from the people of God and the things of God. That's Satan's plan for our life. That's Satan's plan for our life. And so there's a principle here of it's called the principle of the second before the first. If you'll, in your notes, I put it down there for you. Early in this study of the characters of the Bible, we got to understand about this principle in God's Word. The principle of the second before the first is this. You will see that God chooses the nothing for his purpose. He will choose the second over the first. And that's why all through the Bible you'll see things like, I have a list of them for you there. Not Cain, but Abel. He didn't choose Cain, he chose Abel. He didn't choose Esau, he chose Jacob. He didn't choose Aaron, he chose Moses. You go back. And he didn't choose the first king, Saul, but the second one, which was David. He chose David. God didn't choose the old covenant, but he has chosen the new covenant. Not the first Adam, but the second Adam. You see, the first Adam we just talked about today. The second Adam is Christ. The second Adam is Christ. And so God continually takes away the first, though he may establish the second. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9, it talks about the second and the first. Adam was the first man created. Adam was the first sinner. And I want to get the women off the hook here. The fall of man was not woman's fault.
Amen.
Ah, man. Come on, ladies, help her.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
It was Adam's fault. The instructions were to Adam, the day you eat of the fruit of the tree, the day you eat of it. And the fall of man didn't happen until Adam took the fruit and partook of it. It didn't happen when Eve ate it. It didn't even happen when Eve gave it to Adam. What happened is when Adam ate it. Because the instructions were to Adam at that point. There was no one here but God and Adam. And he did the zoo parade to show Adam that there's nothing created like you, and I'm going to provide for you the very best. You don't have to be married to a giraffe the rest of your life. And he created woman. But he breathed in their nostrils the breath of life. And that started the fall of mankind. The fall of man was when Adam sinned. The Bible says by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world. It didn't say by one woman's disobedience, sin entered into the world. It was by what he was responsible. He was responsible. Adam was. And then all of a sudden we see that we not only had a problem with the fall of man, but we had a penalty for that, and also that we're going to have provision. But there's going to be a way that what God wants to do with us is prepare us for His salvation that comes our way. But it's not going to be the first. It's going to be the principle of the second. God will continue to take away the first that He may establish the second. So our character today is Adam, very first kind of character we've got in the Bible. Well, he was the first character we have in the Bible. And then all of us are descendants of Adam. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The reason why is because I have in me, and I believe I can say this about you, Ralph, I have in me the seed of Adam. I have in me the seed of Adam. I go all the way back to Adam, my family tree, all the way back. And every person born is born a sinner. And we all need a Savior. And we all have that same punishment that God had laid out for them, that He wants to provide for you if you'll accept it. And not take over and do what you want to do and usurp. But He wants to take over and control your life. That's Adam. He's the one that started this mess. And because of that, we become like Adam. If we stay in the family of Adam, one day we're going to spend eternity separated from God in a real place called hell. But if we change families and we go from Adam's family to God's family by the blood that was shed on the cross, we change families, we're going to end up still dying. But the end result of being in God's family is heaven. There's your plan right there. There's your plan. Let me ask you before we close. How many of you, just I don't want you to stand up because you may hurt yourself. How many, just raise your hand. How many of us, since you came to Sagemont Church, met the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Raise it up high. Come on, Bill, raise it up high. Okay. Thank you. There's a lot of people. At this church came. I'm so proud of our heritage here. I'm so proud of what's happened here at Sagemont. This is the only thing I've ever known, and these are the only people I've ever known. And this is like family. Tim.
I just can't help but think, you know, Henry, this story here is really what the gospel is about. I mean, we see the gospel here. Mm-hmm. We see man predicted.
Mm-hmm.
And we inherited that sin nature.
Yeah.
And we're still in that same predicament today. And those that we're trafficking,
byproducts. Yeah, root cause. Yeah.
But the wonderful thing is that, and you know, there's so many different things that we can just wonder at, just astonished at. He knew that it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Before it even happened.
Yeah. Making provisions.
Yeah. Sin.
Yeah.
Satan, you're going to bruise his heel.
Yep.
He's going to crush
you. was going to crush your head. That was in the punishment given out to him. You know, it, and one of the sad parts about this story is it begins right here in Genesis, and you go through all the Old Testament, where we are today, like Tim says, it's almost like what is called, they call it an apostate cycle, where man up here is away from God. When Adam did that, he was away, separated from God. God intervened. Man repented. God forgave. Man is right with God. But then, man fell away. And that's been the apostate cycle, because you would think that mankind would have learned from this lesson, but we didn't. Cain and Abel comes on the scene, and we got some problems there with Cain and Abel. We may need to look at those characters. Real quickly, the sons of Adam and Eve didn't get it. They didn't get it. And so man has been on this course, and that's why it says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day.